Blog Talk Radio.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky.
Keep your head.
Keep your
Shalom to my brothers and sisters in Hebrews. Blessings and peace be upon you all that's a part of the family. Keep your head up to the sky. What you gonna do, cry, snowflake? Yeah, what you worried about the depression that's in the air? You letting these holidays get the best of you? You know it's spirits out here. You can't shake yourself. You letting your emotions run you? Keep your head to the sky. You looking down at the ground kicking rocks today? Well, then you need to be checked, and that's what my job is, because this is Inspirational Wednesdays. And if you're looking in the rearview mirror complaining about something that happened yesterday, then you do not deserve the gift of life of this beautiful day, because you are not respecting the Most High and the fact that He orders your steps and that He sits back to prove that you love Him. He will give you opportunities to be proven. That's right. That's right. So if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. And if you love him, then you'll be optimistic. You won't be looking down at the ground kicking rocks, but you'll be looking forward to what's coming because of your faith and your hope inside of him. Yesterday is yesterday. Yesterday is gone. And this is not the end of the road. We still got so very far to go. I never did like that song, although we've come to the end of the road. No, we're never at the end of the road. You might reach a dead end, might mean you went down the wrong intersection. Turn around, go back, and get it right. I'm your brother, Vitor Ra. And midweek, I like to come to you because a lot of my brothers and sisters be like, living for the weekend. But I can't wait around and live for the weekend because this is my life right now. You got celebrities dropping like flies. Satan is cashing his checks. Everybody that's been signed in damn contracts to be rich and famous in this world, he coming after their ass. Cashing in checks won't even let them get up out of 2016. And you complaining about something you don't have or what you don't like? You instigating strife and trouble all around you? I know Satan's trying to wreak havoc. He's trying to wreak havoc around me inside my house, but I can rebuke him. It's amazing when you're around people that are demon-possessed and they don't even know it, but you know it. But what do you do about that? They can't be set free until they want to be set free. But one thing they will do is they will acquiesce. What happened to them demons that was inside of the man, that was inside the cemetery, when Christ showed up? Bow down. Show respect. They can't act up around you because you got the victory. You got the keys. You've got the power. You've got the knowledge. But it's nothing until you use it and you work it. Storm don't have to be a storm. No, sir. Because anytime a storm comes your way, let me encourage you for a second. Realize that you're up for promotion. What am I talking about? Man, before Job got double, he lost everything he had. But let's not forget how the story ensued in the book of Job. What happened with Job was that the Most High said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He's an upright man. I'm going to let you try because I'm going to show you that this is my dude right here. So first and foremost, Satan can't attack you, your household, or your personal, your mind, unless the Most High gives him permission. And when the Most High gives him permission, half the time is for you to recognize you still got buttons that can be pushed. You still got a weakness. You still need to bow down and humble yourself, do some fasting and praying, and get closer to the Most High. Right. Most definitely. And then also, it's a blessing for him to allow you to go through something so that your faith might grow stronger. And so that you will solely depend on him, because our joy, our peace is not predicated upon physical or material riches and gain. It is solely and strictly predicated, built upon, based upon the biggest check, paycheck, payoff, lottery ticket in the world, which is sanity and peace of mind from your past traumas, your past hurts, your past letdowns, and your present issues. When you know you got peace, when you can look at those around you affected by this world and the fear of this world, but it's not touching you, and they can't sit still, but you can sit still. This is the peace that the Most High, through Yeshua HaMashiach, who you, this world ignorantly calls Jesus Christ, will give you if you keep your mind stayed on him and if you seek his kingdom first. See, you got to say, I respect you, Most High, so I'm not going to fall into sin, and I'm not going to use sin as an antidote or as my medication. I'm not going to use sin to numb the pain. What I'm going to do is trust you and stand still. Stand firm, stand still, and at the same time, get my praise on. Turn this music up at the job. Turn this music up at the house. Turn it up. I'm going to turn it up for you. I'm going to worship you and praise you. What is the victory in that, my brothers and sisters, true saints of the Most High, according to Psalms 148? What is that? In his presence is the fullness of joy. and at his right hand pleasures forevermore. Well, brother, how do I get in his presence? Well, he inhabits the praises of Israel. Who's Israel? Them Hebrews that are descendants of the slaves, that are descendants of the people that broke the commandments, that put us under the auspices of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. But thanks be to the Most High, we are repealing the curses because we're coming into the knowledge of the truth, and we are doing what they didn't do. We're praying for forgiveness for them breaking the commandments, and we are bringing it back into life and into our children's lives, the laws, statutes, and commandments. The scripture said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be tripping on these people dropping dead. They knew what they did when they signed them contracts. From Prince to everybody else, fame in this world is death in this world. The only life that's eternal life is signing a contract with the Most High of saying, I promise to live for you, come hell or high water. Because trust me, there will come a time where you may have to give up your life for your faith and what you believe in and let this world know that you refuse to compromise. Happy Hanukkah dedication to my brothers and sisters. Many of you understand we're in the fourth day of the Feast of Dedication, and I'm going to share some scriptures with you about the Feast of Dedication. But what I want you to really understand about this Feast of Dedication, that this is a wonderful time for you to rededicate your life to the Most High. See, that's the dedication purpose. I want you to know that when those brothers stormed the temple on the Sabbath to take back what belonged to them and to the Most High, they had reckless abandon and didn't give a damn the outcome would be, because they refused to sacrifice swine on the altar. It's such a prophetic implication. What happened then? What's going to happen? John, the 10th chapter, when Christ went to Solomon's temple and on the porch of the temple, he healed blind. Blind from birth during the dedication. And if you need to stay realized during this time, because the story is about the fact that 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 the fact the time for those that are willing to put oil in that lamp and be the bride that will have in the last to be returned. The miracle of the Feast of Dedication that Thora miraculously stayed with him. When he had enough oil for one day, the Most High provided. He'll provide for you too. Your tabernacle, your body will have all that in you to fight inside the state. It was wintertime. It commenced on the 25th of Kislev, lasted the 8 days. As we know, it was led by Judah. I talked about this rededication of the altar. I want you to remember that this is a commemoration of the rededication of your life. You know what else they put in that temple? They defiled by erecting a statue of Zeus. You know, some people say that this name Jesus comes from the fact that it's a statue of Zeus. Many people thought it was a statue of Peter. But they put the statue of Zeus within our sanctuary. They started offering pigs on the altar. The rebels took the name Maccabees. It's a battle cry. Me, Kamosha Bain. Who is like who is like you among the mighty, O Most High? Now, although this is not a biblically mandated feast and designed as a minor festival in our community, this has become a major celebration in modern times, and I have to say that this has had major emphasis in my life this year. Sometimes we just skip over it. But now, understanding that I'm rededicating and that there was brothers that took a stand against a tyrannical government, those are all things that we're facing. A government that's trying to force vaccines, force us to accept gay marriage, force us to accept their policies and their laws, force us to live a life in fear, force us to eat their food, their GMOs. We've got to say hell no. Listen to this. 2 centuries after the Maccabean victory of the Hebrew people were again under the yoke of an even more powerful and cruel oppressor, Imperial Rome. So you have to understand that Herod, 2 centuries after we had the victory, for a while after that victory, Herod came back trying to kill the Messiah. He killed Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. This is why John the Baptist hid in the wilderness, because they were looking for him, because they were looking for the Messiah, and many feared that John the Baptist was the Messiah. Our Savior, for a brief time, had even fled to Egypt to hide, because they were killing the firstborn children. So it was interesting that during this time, when Christ showed up at Solomon's temple, it was a time when Herod was taken off the head of many people and slaying people. See, this is the setting for the story of a much greater deliverance from a far greater bondage, deliverance from the bondage of all men to sin and Satan through the coming of Yeshua HaMashiach. Matthew tells us that an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and instructed him to call that child that was conceived and Mary the virgin to whom he was betrothed, Yeshua. But he will save his people from their sin. Luke tells of Mary's encounter with that angel, Gabriel. And we know the rest of that story. So it's a feast and a miracle of redemption and deliverance this time of year. Christ also came. As the Maccabean brothers took back the temple, Christ came to be a deliverance to his people. That's why his appearance at the Feast of Dedication some 30 years later after he was born as a backdrop for his own message of liberation and redemption is significant. We are told that Yeshua walked in the colonnade of Solomon. Solomon was the one to whom was given the honor of building the house of Yah. When the temple was consecrated with burnt offerings, the glory of the Elohim filled the temple, signaling Yah's acceptance and approval of the house that Solomon had built for him. Such was the manifest glory of the Elohim that the priests could not even enter. Yet this temple was merely a temporary stage in the unfolding revelation of how Yah intends to dwell among his people. Solomon's name means peace, and his wisdom and influence extended to the ends of the then known world. Just as his reign over the throne of David prefigured that of the Messiah, whose kingdom would endure forever, so did the temple that he built prefigure the spiritual temple made of living stones that would be built by the Messiah. Isaiah 9:6 said this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty Yah, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever." That's Isaiah 9:6. The choice of Solomon's colonnade as a backdrop for his message is perhaps deliberate, connecting his God-ordained mission with the temple Solomon ordained by Hayah, thus embracing and symbolizing everything it typified. The temple was, in fact, undergoing massive reconstruction under the patronage of Herod, who sought to establish a name for himself in perpetuity. And thus the porch named after Solomon was the appropriate setting for this fulfillment. In return of the glory of the Lord that would be fulfilled at the Feast of Pentecost. This was the place where the tabernacle of David would be raised up as prophesied by Amos. On that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. Amos 9:11-12. It would be purified by the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, recollecting the dedication of Solomon's temple. The prophecy of David's tabernacle was declared by the Council of Jerusalem to have been fulfilled, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and upon Jews and Gentiles without distinction. With this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it has been written, after this, I will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. While the corrupt priesthood was presiding over the ritual offerings and cleansings of a defiled temple, Shaph walked in Solomon's colony, preparing for the dedication of his temple that would be purified through a baptism of fire. Here, a remnant according to the election of grace would obtain what Israel sought, did not obtain. Site is also the threshing floor of David, and this is where the threshing, separating the wheat from the chaff, begins. As he walked, the Hebrews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us." This is John 10:24. And the Shaph tells him that they do not believe because they are not part of his flock. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I and the Father are one." The day of Pentecost had fully come. He would purge his floor, consuming the chaff in his baptism of fire, as Malachi had prophesied. His temple will be established forever on the eternal rock that is himself. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to the Most High through HaMashiach Yeshua. Thus, the Feast of Dedication finds new meaning in the dedication of the spiritual temple for those who belong to Yeshua and who are called to remain pure, undefiled. Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. As we rededicate ourselves during this time to rededicate, they will not follow. We're re-cleansing ourselves, we're rededicating ourselves, we're moving into the fifth day, remembering the miracle, we're remembering what the book of Maccabees said, we're remembering the story. Many of our people wanted to become Hellenistic Jews and act like the Greeks and begin to dress like them and begin to build gymnasiums and do the things that they did. Many of us sold out, as many did for Christmas and for New Year's and this time of year, as they get depressed and are ready to give up and throw in the towel. But there was a remnant that said, "No, we will not sell out." Guess what? Many of us refused to fight. They didn't sell out, but they also refused to fight to kill the slave. See what? Throwing up idolatry that. Thanks to the Most High, Maccabees, we hold those brothers that said we will not only fight, we will take back the temple. And what was left out of everything they stole out of the temple is that blessed oil. We are our light that sits on the earth. We are a candlestick, and the oil is that of the Spirit. So light shine. Be with the dedicated. Dedication. Before I get ready to go, I said I was going to talk to you about rebuking the enemy, Hashatan. I want to remind you, Satan will come and try and do the same thing he did with Yeshua. After a 40-day fast, try to catch you when you're weak, when you're sick, when you're going through, take you to the top of a mountain, tell you to curse God, do something you shouldn't do, or make you promises, tell you that your life would be so much better if you just walked away and did this and that. But you know what? Yeshua shared with the Satan, said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And then you know what else he said? "It is written." You can't rebuke the enemy or fight the enemy back if you don't know scriptures and precepts. If you're not reading your Bible and committing it to memory and practicing these scriptures and knowing where it's at, you can't rebuke the enemy. You've got to be able to tell the enemy and know that you can tell the enemy that it is written. See, he knows the scripture probably better than you know it. So you got to learn the Bible in order to fight your mind and him coming into your mind, talking to your mind. Them thoughts you're hearing in your head is him taking Christ to the highest mountain and showing him the whole city, saying, "I'll give you all this if you'll worship me." But he's telling you something else, and you need to rebuke him. Because you know that if it's outside of the will of the Most High and what he set in order and that he's blessed and put together are already established, and he's giving you an ulterior motive and painting a picture making you think it's going to look good, it's time for you to do some rebuking. And most of you don't even know imprecatory prayer that we've been going through in Psalms. Go back to Psalms and start reading so you can learn your imprecatory prayers. So you can learn how to use them properly against Satan and your enemy. Listen to this, Isaiah 54:4. "Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, but thou shalt not be put to shame, but thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more." He tells us to forget stuff from the past. Or situations that you're trying to point the finger at you and say, "Look at you." It says, "For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the Most High of the whole earth shall he call." You have to understand that everything from the beginning of time has been given to you in victory, and you have to stake the course. Satan is already defeated. If you don't learn no other scripture to fight him, hold on to Isaiah 54:17. "No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me, I shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the serpent of the Most High, Yah." Rebuke the enemy and resist the enemy and stay fast to your fasting and praying. Hold fast and keep the victory. This is your brother V, Torah. Keep your head to the sky.
Keep your head.